Amen. Well, let's take a look at the Word of God again together in the book of Psalms. There in the middle of the book, if you'll find the 96th Psalm, that will be our time of meditation in the Word this morning, Psalm 96. And if you're able, remain standing for the Word of God, and then we'll be seated as we meditate on God's Word. Psalm 96. This is known as the missionary's hymn, and you'll soon see why. Psalm 96, the Word of God, enduring forever. O sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Ascribe or give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord. For He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His faithfulness. Oh, Father, as we look at this psalm this morning, as we hear and read and sing of the nations singing to You, may we see that we have the great privilege of singing the song so that they can hear. Of ascribing in their ears the greatness of our God. So that on that coming day of judgment, they will be those who will rejoice on that day. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And let's be seated. My intention is this will not be the typical length sermon. My intention is it will be 3 hours long. Some of you are already like hoorahing, so I just wanted to put that in the bud, nip that in the bud right now. So, no, I want us to walk through 96 and be prepared then as we hear from James and Molly who wish to go so that the nations may hear a new song and the ascribing of glory. This psalm is a portion of the psalm more fully captured for us. It's like the Reader's Digest version of 1 Chronicles 16. In 1 Chronicles 16, Israel is rejoicing because the Ark of the Covenant is returning to Jerusalem after a season of having been away. As a sign of God's physical sign of God's non-presence with Israel as they're under judgment. And now as the ark is coming, it is received also as a symbol that God is with us again. The new victory as the Lord is with David, and as David brings the ark back to Jerusalem. And the psalm that we have here is this new song as God has done a new thing in bringing the ark back to. There's not a crime in singing the old songs of deliverance. Psalmody is full of songs referring back to Egypt and the deliverance of this. But in this psalm, there's the threefold sing a new song before the Lord. The psalm is, if we were to look at it, is roughly in two main sections, two main movements, two main strophes. And each of the movements have a call to action and then the giving of the reason why. And so I just want to sort of walk through that together with us, with each other, as we're looking at this psalm and perhaps using this psalm later in this week as we meditate it continually after today's meditation. So let's look at this first movement, the first strophe, the first half of the psalm, if you were, verses 1 through 6. We see first that there's a call to action. A call to action. We see it in verses 1 and 2, and in verse 3 as well. But in 1 and 2, we have this threefold, sing to the Lord, sing to the Lord, sing to the Lord. And in the Hebrew, you may already know that when something is repeated this closely, this many times, it's like, this is very important. This is urgent. Whatever you do, do this. Sing to the Lord. Now, I know that we could perhaps sing a song in our heart, but this is not the Hebrew. We're to, as the redeemed of the Lord, to go out and make a noise so that others can hear. Sing to the Lord a new song, some new activity of God. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Notice here, this is not just sing to the Lord, O people of Israel. This is the beginning of an invitation that is developed all through this psalm, that as from the beginning, God has intended that His name be praised over all His creation. Sing to the Lord. Bless His name. Sing to Him a new song, a fresh song. And one commentator that I looked at, Alec Moyer, says this: it is a fresh song responding to truth freshly received, or fresh experience of answered prayer, or of deliverance from the Lord. How is it that you and I will be singing new songs on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday? It is because we have new glimpses of who God is, and new mindfulness of His mercies, new understanding of His love for us and for others as well. And with each day, as we break forth in those new mercies that are born every morning, says the Scriptures, we break out with a new song for others to hear, tell of His salvation from day to day. If the threefold is the devotion, the threefold devotion to sing to the Lord, sing to the Lord, sing to the Lord, then in verse 2 we're given the duration of that devotion from day to day. From day to day, it never ends. It's not a Sunday to Sunday kind of singing so that others may hear of the great Lord that we serve. It's day to day, because day to day there'll be new ears to tell. Have you noticed that in your life, by and large, you meet new people every day? Day to day, new ears to tell of the salvation of the Lord. As I've already said, day to day, new reflections upon just how merciful God has been with you, or just how patient He still is with you, or some new facet of insight into the wonders of God and His awesomeness. And so now you go out day to day, new ears, new insight, new wonder, new awe. And tell of His salvation. It was said of Luther that he would say periodically, "Christ is now as fresh to me as if He had shed His blood but this very hour." Luther, understanding constant reflection of the work and the person of Christ, kept him fresh to tell others of this Jesus that he so loved. Declare His glory. So here's the declaration as we're singing. So this is the devotion, the singing to the Lord, so that others may also hear. We see this duration of day to day, but this declaration, what is it then that is to be the meat of our singing? We're not simply singing silly little love songs. We're singing grander themes for those others to hear. We are to declare His glory among the nations and His marvelous works among all the people. We are declaring His being and His activity among all the peoples. Peoples that we know, peoples that we don't know. Peoples that are like us, peoples that are not like us. Peoples that we like, maybe even peoples that we're suspect of. Sing. Tell. Declare. Well, why should I do that? Okay, Pastor Ken, I get it. Verses 1 through 3 are calling me, as one who knows the Lord, to declare. This is the essence of good news sharing. This is the essence of evangelism. That those who know should tell those who don't know. That's exactly what verses 1 through 3 are declaring to the people of Israel. You who know the glory of God, you who know the marvelous works of God, need to go tell others so that the whole earth can be filled with His sung glory. But why? Verses 4, 5, and 6. And the simple answer is this. Because He is worthy. Because He is great. And greatly to be praised. Maybe not everyone here, but me and my friends. The crew that I hung around with. There was the day that eventually came where we got our first car. And what did I do? I just parked in the driveway. And then just used it just to go to work and back. Or to school and back. Is that what I did? No. I hopped into that 72 Olds Cutlass Supreme, 350 horsepower, 4-barrel gas sucker, and I went to every one of my friends' house. Look! Or you ladies, when you were, if you have been proposed to, and you received the ring, did not walk around the next week with your hand in your pocket like this. What did you do? Look! In today's world, you posted 47 photos on Instagram and Facebook from different facets. Look how beautiful this is! Look how He did this for me! Those are nice. But God is great and worthy to be made much of if He is great in our eyes. We sing and tell and declare that which is truly great in our eyes. And we don't bat a wink of shame or embarrassment. Verses 1 through 3, sing, tell, declare. Why? For the Lord is great. It's just who He is. He is greatly to be praised. But He goes on as He's saying, look at Him. But notice here, but He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. The Lord, Yahweh, the great I Am, the Lord in all caps, is far different from all the other gods and idols. For they have all been made by the hands of men. But the hands of men that made these gods were made by God Himself. The one true God. The one creating God. The one all-powerful God. These other so-called gods Have no ears, go read Psalm 115. Have no ears, have no eyes, have no mouths to speak, no feet to go and be with you, no hands to help, no ears to hear your pleadings, no mouth to speak comforting words. But what? Things, objects that we have given affections to, but they are not real. Though they may rule over our hearts, they are not the real God. They may be PlayStations and computers and jobs and boyfriends and girlfriends that rule over our hearts and the ideal situation we wish that we could live that are idols before us. Truly, Calvin was right. The human heart is a continual idol factory. But there is one who is over all of that. He is to be feared above all gods. Taking a swipe, perhaps, at the known gods of the day, the gods of the sky, Nebo of the Babylonians, the great moon god, or Ra, the sky god of the sun of the Egyptians, or Tiamat, the bully god of the sea, perhaps of Marduk or Molech, the god of the underworld to which humans sacrifice their children in fire, hoping for blessings. Gods supposedly over the earth and under the earth, and perhaps even Baal and Asherah, who are very earthy gods of fertility and material possession. There is one God who is over them all. And here, there's a play, there's a word play going on in the Hebrew, whereas for the gods of the people are worthless idols, this word for God, little gods. So we know one of the names of God is Elohim, which is mentioned for us earlier in the text. So Elohim, the name of God, versus Elihim. So there's like a sound play going on in the words, which means these gods are Elohim, nothing. The gods that they are worshiping are nothing. And they need to be told. This innate sense in you to worship something greater than yourself, whether it's nature or whether it's the attributes of others that you see more polished or better than you, or perhaps things that you want, that you worship, that you have a sense of there's just something in you driving you to give weight and to give rule in your life. All those are nothing, but that thing that's been put in you to worship another, there is a point of destination. The one true God, Yahweh, the Great One. Look to Him. Worship Him. Why? Because He made the heavens. He made you. He is worthy for you to sing new songs of. Even all the nations that do not yet know Him. Splendor and majesty are before Him. No eye has seen all the splendor. Even John, when he had that moment in his revelation, still admitted that he was using human words to describe what it was that he saw. Splendor and majesty are before Him, emanating from Him. It's not that we ascribe majesty to Him. He already is majestic. He already is splendorous, and it emanates from Him. Hence, strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Why? How is it that strength or beauty are in His sanctuary? Because God is in His holy temple, reigning on His throne, and from Him, strength and beauty are to be found, and not only in Him, but in His presence. This God, greater than all other man-made gods, is the self-existent One who has created all other things. This God who has saved us from the wrath to come by the Father sending the Son and being crucified on the cross, not by what we do. We know the fullness of the salvation story, but what Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary, buried, raised in 3 days, and returning again. Oh, call to action. Make much of God. Why? Because He is glorious. You do this already in every esteemed area of your life. More so with God. Make much of Him. Those who do not know may know Him. End of the first movement. Going on to the second movement. And the structure is parallel. There's a second call to action. And here, instead of the threefold sing, depending on your translation, it's either a threefold give or ascribe. A scribe is trying to make sense of this issue of giving. How do you give anything to the one who has given me everything? How do you give to the one who already is everything? How do you give more power to the one who's all-powerful? How do you give glory to the one who's all-glory? It's not as if we're trying to add to something that God has. But when we are giving, we are ascribing. We are confessing these things to be true of God. And again, that threefold repetition of the urgency and the importance of doing this. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. This is a calling for the unbelievers to do this. Pleading with them who are on the outside of the kingdom to come onto the inside. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name and leave off. Repent. Leave off these other so-called gods. Ascribe to the Lord, the one true God, the glory due His name. Bring an offering, not to buy Him off. He gives the greatest offering, the Son. Bring an offering of thanksgiving, communicating your trust in Him. Bring an offering and come into His courts. We enter into Christ's kingdom not with a purchase ticket of our own, but in offering our very selves in response to His offering Himself to us. Bring an offering, devotion, faith, trust, and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in splendor of holiness. Why do we worship the Lord with holiness? Because He Himself is holy. Tremble before Him. The psalmist teaching the peoples of the earth that the one true God is a great and fearful God. Now, the rest of the psalm is going to show us that's not all He is. So stay there, but don't hang up there. Tremble before Him, all the earth. And I just want to say to those of us who have somehow in our Christianity said, well, I'm with Jesus, and there's no need to tremble anymore. And I would just point you to the book of the Revelation. And think of John on the Isle of Patmos. John, who is the beloved disciple. John, who was so beloved by the Lord Jesus that He gave to John the care of his mother Mary. John, who is the closest of the inner three disciples, close to Jesus. And yet, how does this disciple, who is as close to Jesus as humanly speaking, how did he respond when Jesus reveals Himself there on the Isle of Patmos? He falls like a dead man. He didn't run up to Jesus and say, pal, buddy. Because Jesus is God, divine, in human form. And we rejoice and we draw near to the friend of sinners, but we remember He is God. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Not because we are undone in terror, but we acknowledge He is not like one of us. He is, yes, God immanent, near us, with us. But He is also God transcendent, other than us. So ascribe, all you nations, you heathens, you pagan people out here, those of you outside of the known kingdom at the moment, ascribe, give to the Lord glory and strength. Come in, bring an offering, come into His courts. Worship Him in holiness, His defined holiness in His holy word, and tremble before Him all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. You do not reign your own little kingdoms. I do not reign my little kingdom. Our rulers do not truly reign over our nation. And the rulers of the world do not truly reign over the earth. There is but one who truly reigns all people, all nations, all events. Say among the nations, the one true God reigns. And because He reigns, the world is established and it shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. And verse 10 is sort of this transition between the call to action, again, inviting, declaring, telling, singing, ascribing, worshiping, saying, trembling. And why? Reason number two to go with call to action number two. Because the Lord reigns and will come to judge. Oh, we ought to, in our evangelism, tell all the goodness of God and all the attributes of God and all the beauty of God and all the worthiness of God. But it will also be incumbent upon us to warn in our sharing of the good news that this one true God, the Lord who reigns, will one day come to judge the peoples with equity. Now, from the perspective of the redeemed, the perspective of the people of God, what is our response at the thought of God coming to judge? Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills in it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness. How is it that joy is in the expectation of this holy God coming? Because in His Son we are found righteous. And when He comes, all that has been put out of place and out of sync because of the presence of sin in the world will be made right again. We will live again in the world as He intended and first ordered when the Lord comes to judge. Even the earth, which Romans, I think it's Romans 8, groans under the weight of the sin that we have placed upon it, will what? Participate in the gladness and the rejoicing. Oh, ascribe, worship, tremble, say the good news, implore others to come in to His courts, because He comes again to judge. According to righteousness and faithfulness to Himself. And all those who are found righteous will be welcomed into the restored heavens and earth. And all those found not righteous, but still worshiping their little gods, maybe even made in their own image, will be judged correctly and removed from the righteous. The Bible speaks of this separation throughout all its pages, of when the Lord comes and restores the heavens and the earth, the righteous, the people of God, the flock of God shall be called unto Himself, and those who have refused and rebelled and held their hands, or just, as we looked at this past Wednesday, just simply shrugged at the thought of the one true God, will be removed to an existence of their own making having life without Him for eternity, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, in light of that, I don't want that for you. Oh, peoples of the nations, come! Peoples of the nations, sing to Thee, Lord, not the little lords. Oh, peoples of the lands, of the peoples of the nations, sing of Thee, Lord, the God who is great and gracious and slow to anger. Come sing to this God now. Because He comes. And I want you to rejoice when He comes again. Rejoice in the coming judgment day by calling upon the Lord now. Very much like 1 Peter 2:12, where he's speaking to the believers there who are undergoing great trial for their faith. And what does he say to them? Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of His visitation. Well, let us call for others to believe because of the greatness of God, His glory, His goodness, His graciousness, His love. But the Scripture is even-handed. Let us call and warn and give the hope that on the day of His coming, they would be those who rejoice and not moan. Notice that in the worship that is called for in this psalm is one of trembling and rejoicing. The true believer holds both as we worship the One who gives us gladness, but whom we do not treat like anybody else, but greater than all others. Go and tell in the hopes that they will sing and rejoice and worship and enter His courts with praise. Psalm 96, the missionary's hymn. And with that, let me reintroduce to you two who have been set apart by the Lord for some time. For those of you who are new with us, or maybe you don't know all the history, you've known James and Molly the 2 years they've been with us, but our history with James and Molly goes back over 13 years now. But when they were serving the Lord in Krasnoyarsk, Siberia, with Send International, and we helped them in those years that they were there, and then they sensed the Lord calling them home to Canada to help James's mother and family in a time when they needed to minister at home. And so they've been in South Carolina now, taking classes with Columbia International, retooling and relearning and sharpening their hearts before the Lord. And within the last 5 months, I guess, if I'm doing my math right, they've had a sense of the Lord clarifying them now a people to go to. And so I'm not going to give too much away. I'd rather ask James and Molly to come. And if you would share with us, to whom are you going? How can we be praying for you? How can we be joining? And then after they do that, we're going to pray for them before they go today. So James and Molly, would you come forward?
Well, we just wanted to start off this morning by saying how wonderful it's been being here for the last year and a half and worshiping with you all. We had no idea how nice it would be, and it's just been wonderful for us learning from you all, sitting under Pastor Ken's teaching and Mr. Butch and John in the Sunday morning services. So we just want to say thank you. We really appreciate you all, and we're going to miss you.
I second that 100%. And before we share this morning, we'd just like to tell you that this morning we really want the Lord to be exalted, for Him to be lifted up in your minds and in your hearts, and not so much James and Molly. That is the desire of our heart this morning. That's what we've been praying for, along with other things this morning. And so we want to start by sharing just a few things about God's faithfulness in our lives over the last year and a half since we moved here. And the other day, Molly and I think we might have been driving for part of this, but we were recounting to one another the things that God has done for us in making as evident, I guess, as we can expect what our next steps are to be, and the specific incidents that led us to that understanding that we are to move and to move to Winnipeg. And it was especially encouraging for me. Those of you who maybe know me best know that I second guess my decisions. Anybody else? And that has been something that I've struggled with over the course of my life, seeking the Lord, seeking His wisdom, seeking His direction, feeling the direction to go, making the decision, and then, did I hear Him right on this? And so as Molly and I were sharing back and forth the things that led us to this decision, that led us to standing here in front of you this morning, it was particularly encouraging for me. Molly is different than I am. When she feels like she's heard from the Lord on something, it's, I know that I know that I know and I know, and I don't care if it's 30 below. God has said, go, go. She has a very confident, bold faith and trust in the Lord. On the other hand, I'm a more timid sort that I say, I think that I know that I know. I would be one of those who would say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. But God has been faithful in meeting both of us in our differences in leading us to the decision to go to Winnipeg. So it was encouraging, faith-building, and in a sense it was what Samuel did in 1 Samuel 7 when with the children of Israel, with God's people, he set up a stone of remembrance, an Ebenezer. To this point, God has helped us. And for Molly and me, that was a significant time of setting up a stone with paper and pen. To this point, to this decision, God has helped us, has led us. So we'd like to share just briefly a few of those details in how we feel God has led us to this decision. A significant part in this was studying at Columbia International University. When we came here a year and a half ago, our intention, our thoughts were to go back overseas. And we wanted to spend time near Molly's side of the family, and the opportunity to study just down the road at Columbia at a Christian university that's very focused on missions was like the marriage made in heaven. Molly's family and a great school like that to retool and train and get ready for what we thought was going to be going back overseas. The Lord had different plans ultimately, but He used our time of study in Columbia International to begin to awaken, I think, in us a desire to do what ultimately He would call us to do, even though we were heading a different direction. And the courses that we took there, the professors that we had there, many of them having had many years of experience in missions, was a really significant part in our journey to today. And one of the things that we feel strongly about, and I believe as a church family you do too, But when Jesus told the parable about the talents, and he talks about the master who gave one servant one talent, another one five talents, another one ten talents. And the point of that is to be faithful with whatever God gives you and me. To be faithful with it. And to be fruitful with it for Him. And as we look at the last year and a half of studies, we want to invest well in the kingdom of God, what He has given us. The talents, the training, the equipping. So that's one factor. Another important factor was the opportunity through one of our courses to start building relationships with Muslims in Charleston. And many of you, we've shared bits and pieces of that journey. It's been a very interesting journey. But to make contact with people of very different, both ethnic and religious backgrounds, and to see that they are human beings made in the image of God with many of the same impulses that we have, but they're worshiping a false god. But very warm people embraced us into their life, into their homes. And last Friday, we went to the mosque to say our goodbyes to them. And again, just an outpouring of friendship and warmth. And whenever you're back, come see us. If you need anything, let us know. I don't know if they're going to be praying for our ministry or not. At times they have said, we're praying for you. They have certain prayers that are structured and certain prayers that are more like we're familiar with talking with God. And so Molly's going to share a really neat happening, a very God-honoring happening last Friday when we had gone to the mosque to say our goodbyes.
This is my opportunity to sing to the Lord, and I promise you I will not do it in song. I will do it in words. But just so excited about what God did. As many of you know, when you go to the mosque, the men enter one side of the mosque and the women enter another. So I had gone into the women's section, and I was visiting with my friend from Jordan, and I noticed a woman off the side who was busy chasing around her 2.5-year-old, and I had the strongest sense from God, Molly, go talk to her. And I've had that one time before in my life, and the Lord helped me obey Him, and He brought a non-Christian lady into my life that I ended up doing Bible study with. So I know now, when God says go talk to somebody, you need to go. So I went and sat next to her, and then she needed to get up and follow her 2-year-old around the room, and I was thinking, okay, Lord, I'm willing to talk to her, but she's kind of hard to keep up with. So she had gone to sit down in another part of the mosque on little children chairs, and her little 2.5-year-old boy looked at me. He's never met me before. Pats the chair next to him and just looks at me like, come lady and sit here. Like, well, okay, the Lord really does want me to talk to this woman. So I got up and went and sat next to her and tried to talk to her a little bit, but by that time the service in the mosque had already started, and so it wasn't really appropriate. Plus she was getting up, chasing her 2-year-old around. So after the service, this woman came over to me that I have talked to before. Unfortunately, she is an American like we are who has converted to Islam, with this woman that God wanted me to talk to in tow. And she said, Molly, I would like to introduce to you Karina. Karina is a Christian, and Molly, you're a Christian. I was like, well, because I had prayed and said, Lord, if you want me to talk to her, you're just going to have to make a way, because this just wasn't working. So I got to talk to Karina, and I detected an accent in her voice, and I asked her where she's from. And she said she's from Kazakhstan. And many of you would know that under communism, all the 15 satellite countries under Russia's rule were made to speak Russian. So Karina speaks Russian. So I switched into Russian with her. Thought, wow, this is interesting. Here I am in the middle of Charleston in a mosque speaking to a woman in Russian. And I just had such a real sense of I just need to share the gospel with her. And she told me that she is not Muslim, though she is married to a man from Morocco. She has questions about who Jesus Christ is. And she likes what the Muslims believe. She feels like that answers her questions. I was like, they are not going to get her. So I was just, okay, Lord, you want me to talk to her? So I shared the gospel with her, and I asked her if she has a Bible, and she said that she does. And so I suggested that she read that, that that might answer her questions about Jesus Christ. And so I've been praying for her since then. But I'm just amazed, if you stop and think about how God brought Karina all the way from Kazakhstan to Charleston, for some reason, at some point, he took James and me to the mosque one day because of one of James's assignments. I'm in the women's section meeting these ladies. I'm introduced to this woman from Kazakhstan who speaks Russian, who is not a Muslim yet, who is searching. And God gave me the opportunity to share the gospel with her. And just marvel at who God is, at his kindness and his goodness, and how creative he is to have done that. So that's my exciting story from the mosque.
We were talking in the car afterwards about how odd that must have been to anybody that would have, here's an American, very American-looking lady, dressed like a Muslim, speaking in Russian about Jesus in a mosque. It's like you couldn't put that together, but he can. And how many appointments like that might he have for all of us? And it's a wonderful, really an amazing time in the history of the world where it seems like God is reshuffling the peoples of the earth, often through wars and conflict and turmoil, to bring people from distant, hard-to-reach places right into our backyards and into our front yards. And what an opportunity for the Church of Christ to be able to engage these people who have come. And so that is kind of the heartbeat of what Molly and I feel like God is leading us into at this time in our life, is to engage these people who are coming from different parts of the world to North America, and will they be met by a church, by Christians, who will initiate contact with them, who will reach out to them, show them the love of Jesus, share the truth of Jesus. That's the heartbeat that we want to continue to carry us as we go to Winnipeg from here. We'd like to share a short video, and the setting, I'll just give you a kind of a run-up to the video. It's in Winnipeg, Canada, right above North Dakota, about an hour and a half north of the border. It's a large city, the largest city in central Canada. Lots of immigrants have come to Winnipeg and continue to pour into Winnipeg. And we're going to be at a Christian refugee center called Naomi House. Naomi was a refugee in her day, the biblical Naomi. And so this is an arm of ministry of an international church in Winnipeg that's made up of about 90% first-generation immigrants to Canada. And they've had a vision for about 2 years now to start a ministry, a Christian ministry. Not a government-based, not a government-funded, but a faith-based, Christ-centered, gospel-proclaiming ministry. And that's going to be... That ministry is just going to be kicking off in June. And Molly and I are going to be part of the team that will be working there. So this video that you're going to see it's about 4.5 minutes. And much of it is interviews with different immigrants that have come and are now a part of City Church. It's called the International Church. So that's, if we could maybe get the lights and...
When you come to Canada first time, you need a lot of help. You know, it looks like easy, but that's very important.
As refugee, the government will support us for 1 year. And after 1 year, we have to stand by ourselves. That made me so scared. I didn't know anyone. I didn't have any friends. And I didn't have education. I didn't speak English. I just have very small English. So I was scared how to survive here in Canada.
First time it was hard for us. You know, there is a culture shock. And we were like new. We don't know anybody.
What City Church does for newcomers, we like to meet people when possible right at the airport and begin their journey in Canada right from the very beginning. It's a wonderful way when you come into the airport and you know that you have a friend day one.
City connection was very sad for me because as I was newcomer, they do a lot of help, especially in my family. We never feel lonely since we came. They show us their love.
When we came in Canada, City Church and people from City Connections, they received us at the airport. Then second thing was where we have to stay, and they have arranged a place for us to stay there for 2 months. And after 2 months, we found that now we are ready to go and find a house.
The Continental weather was, I could say, life-changing, because now coming from country with the war and living 11 years in the refugee camp, which was really hard. So when we came to Canada, it's like we changed our life, and now we are being proud and very helpful.
And then we came to Sambuco. I got a job through Sifonation. Then I survived.
We try to be a friend to each person that we come across as much as we can, to be there for them, to show our love to them. One of our desires has been to do this in a larger way, in a way in which we can service people better and care for people more. And so we've been blessed with this facility. And it's 6,200 square feet. It's a former appliance repair store, and the owners live upstairs. And we're looking now at the renovation of it and development of it, and it will require an extensive amount of work.
Now my house is an important place for, I can say, for my husband first, because you know my husband is a dwelling, and now I know that place can help me many things.
We have this amazing building, an amazing opportunity. We are incredibly blessed with a lot of people volunteering, but we still need help in bringing it to completion.
We are so thankful that City Connection and City Church really helped us in our life in Canada. And after spending 3 years here in Canada, we see ourselves very much adjusted. And not only we are adjusted, but we are now able to help many other people. Thank you.
I think you're probably familiar with the song Blessed Be Your Name by Matt Redman, and I don't know how many times I have sung the song, and I just want to read to you a verse and a chorus and share something that God has been doing in my heart. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. And this journey for me personally to Winnipeg has not been an easy one. If you had asked me a year ago, I would have told you Winnipeg is like one of the last cities in North America that I would ever care to relocate to. Our mission is busy and active in Atlanta as well as in Seattle. I thought, well, West Coast, that would be nice. Atlanta, that's nice too. Get to be near family. Well, Atlanta would be near family here. A much nicer climate and an area that's much more similar to where I grew up. And the thing was, when we were in Atlanta visiting our co-workers with SEND, it was all very nice and the ministry there is great, but our hearts were never tugged towards the ministry there. But doggone it, when we went to Winnipeg to visit James's family over New Year's, wouldn't you know it, it's 30 below outside, there's ice all over all of the roads, and I'm literally feeling depressed. Lord, I hate this. I hate the cold. I hate the ice. I don't want to live in the middle of the prairies. I don't like this. So that was my state of mind. We had a meeting to meet Pastor Tim Nielsen and have a tour of Naomi House. And the moment I set foot in Naomi House, God started to tug my heart towards it. I'm thinking, this isn't right. I could be going to Atlanta and doing the exact same ministry if there was something like Naomi House in Atlanta. But God has very, very gently, God is so gentle, He has very gently through His Word been speaking to me. And then as I was coming back to this again on the cusp of moving and saying, but Father, this is not what I want to do. I don't want to move so far away from home. And God gently says to me, blessed be your name, blessed be God's name, on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, giving up being close to family, giving up what I would consider a much nicer life. You give and you take away. You give and you take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. And I'm so thankful for God and the way He has gently worked in my heart. I'm still not excited about winter. If God told us, James, tonight in a dream that we're not going to Winnipeg, a large part of me would be really excited. But I know, like we heard this morning from Psalm 96, that God is worthy, and that obedience to Him, despite the pain and despite the offering and the sacrifice, is worth it because He is worth it.
Just thinking, I'm glad I married her. God knew I needed a godly wife. We have a few things that we'd like to ask you as a church family to pray about. You probably had a hard time understanding some of the testimony of people who already know English. The people who will be coming into Naomi House, just arriving into Canada, these people will probably be fluent in comparison. And so one of our prayer requests and concerns is how are we going to communicate right at the beginning? There could be people from multiple nations that don't even understand each other, and they're all living on the second floor, and we're on the first floor giving care and other aspects of watching over them and helping them in their first steps. So an ability to communicate that goes beyond words, spirit-filled communication would be a prayer request that we have. One of the things that we're to do is to help develop an environment of community and warmth. And so how do we do that? We're going to share a kitchen with all these people. Molly will be probably learning new recipes from all over the world, putting them on Pinterest. But just in our interactions with the people, limited English, but wanting their first experience to be one of we're loved, and loved in the name of Jesus. Because everyone who comes to that home knows that this is a Christian refugee home. whether they're Buddhist, whether they're Muslim, whatever their background is, they will know they're coming to a place that lifts the name of Jesus. And so to be able to love them and communicate with them and build into them right at the beginning. You could pray for the first couple months. Columbia International has graciously allowed me to do my internship in tandem with the ministry that we're going into. So it's not some addendum, but it's woven right in. And so the first 2 months are going to be hitting the road, literally, walking the, there's about, I didn't count, but maybe 7 or 8 blocks north and south, and maybe double that east and west, where immigrants tend to live in the city of Winnipeg. And so it'll be learning the neighborhood and doing interviews and all kinds of things that I'm still going to learn about, because there's going to be a coach that comes and helps with that. But if you could pray for that, my internship. The number one thing, though, is for the salvation of those people who are going to be coming under the same roof. I shared already with some of you that my natural bent is to think it's going to take years of relationship building in order to have that bridge, that they're willing to have the gospel come across. But when the Holy Spirit moves in somebody's heart, it doesn't have to take years. And I'm wanting God to anchor and reinforce that faith, and not to be shy, even from day one, about the truth. Sometimes it's easier to share our love in actions, and it can be lagging a little bit to the truth, because what if it's offensive? So a boldness that's rooted not in confidence in ourselves, but a boldness in that we are praying that the Spirit of God would move, and move from the beginning. That would be our number one, I think, prayer request. Any others want to share?
Well, this morning, we want to act on the... I'll do this one, Billy. We'll act on the request for prayers. And so, James and Molly, if you all don't mind having a seat. And then I want to ask anybody in the congregation who wants to come and surround them physically as a manifestation of our surrounding them in spirit as they go, and you want to stand with them and pray, let me encourage you to stand now and move forward and come, and let's have a season of praying. You may not have come forward, but as we're praying, you want to pray where you are out there, that's fine, but the point of the moment is praying for God to bless His name through James and Molly. And so let's gather together. Just want to say we love you both very much again. And more than with words, but with another gift.
Here we go again.
So because as individuals, you're faithful with your faces toward the Lord in your giving, we as a group can be faithful in giving to those who serve. And so, praise the Lord. Right? Yeah.
Good. Thank you very much.
Yeah. All right, good. You all want to sit down? And so before we have our offertory, we give an offering and come into His courts, right? Psalm 96. We are to be that offering. Having been bought by Christ, we yield ourselves and all that we have. We have the world all around us in the Tri-County area. The world literally has come to us. May this week we be used to sing a new song among the nations. Let's pray. Father, this morning as we give in response to who You are and what You have done, we yet again tie or cut the ties of ownership to our lives and fall trustingly into Your hands to use us for Your kingdom. As we give paper and coin, now that You have us afresh and whole again, may You use what we give now for ministry here and for ministry around the world, that all the peoples may ascribe glory to Your name. And so we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.